So today we talk about joy. Joy. And where I work, we do support groups there at the time of Christmas. That's what I do. And there's about maybe 20, 30 senior citizens in this room in four centers. And we're talking about the holiday and the feelings that we have at the season of Christmas. And I had asked them to go around the room and tell me what you're feeling. What are the feelings you're expressing today? And we went around the room and I had a whiteboard there and I was marking down what they were saying to me. What kind of feelings do you think they were expressing to me at the season of Christmas? At the season of Christmas. Suffering. Sadness. Loneliness, despair, depression, all of those negative connotations and all those negative feelings were what was heading the list at the season of Christmas. Only one person said rejoicing. Only one in the whole room said rejoicing. Guess who that was? That'd be me. And so of all of the feelings these individuals expressed at the season of Christmas, every single one of them said sadness, loneliness, despair, depression. How are you feeling today? And maybe if I was to get a whiteboard out today and I put it on the wall and I started marking down all of your feelings, maybe some of you would have the same things. And I'm not being judgmental, I'm just stating a fact. Maybe some of us here today would feel those things as well. Loneliness and sadness, despair, depression. Would any of you feel any of those things here today? Anybody feel any of those? Thank you for being honest with me. Thank you for being honest with me. And so today we're going to talk about joy. What brings you joy? What brings you joy? I have a picture here that was given to me. This picture was given to me at the Sons of God Motorcycle Club service that I do on Sunday nights. This picture was given to me. This picture brings me great joy. This picture was given to me by a two-year-old and said, here, Pastor Tom, and if you can't see, that's the cross. You see the cross down there? That's the cross. This brings me great joy. What brings you joy? Does something need to come from the mall that brings you joy? Does something have to come from a car dealership to bring you joy? Does something have to come in a check form signed by somebody made payable to you? Does that bring you joy? Or would this bring you joy? In fact, it brings me so much joy, I carry it with me. What brings you joy today? What brings you joy? Let's turn into our scriptures, please, as we examine joy, as we examine the joy of Christmas. And I'll have you turn into your Bibles, please, as my good brother reads for us from the Gospel of St. John, the 15th chapter, verses 10 and 11.
If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full.
That your joy may be what? Full. Not partial joy. Not sometimes joy. Not halfway joy. Not joy just in good circumstances. Not joy when there's no trials and no tribulations. That your joy may be what? Full. Full. Is your joy full? I was with my ma Friday night. And she was laboring some breathing. And again, as an end-of-life chaplain, I see that a lot. And I talked to the nurse and the doc, and they gave my ma some more medication. And she was resting comfortably. And it was snowing and ice outside. You go out Friday night, right? In fact, a lot of my brothers were saying that they weren't going to come to Men's Challenge because of the weather. And Billy was there. Yes, guess who else was there? I was there. And it was about 7 o'clock. And I'm sitting by my mom, and she was resting pretty comfortably. And a lot of nurses would come in. You need anything, Pastor? They know me. You need anything, Pastor? No, I'm fine. I'm really fine. I'm really fine. It was about 7 o'clock, and I'm looking at that clock. I'm looking at my mom. I said, you know what I need to do? I need to go praise God. That's what I need to do. I really need to go and praise God. That's what I need to do. And so I told the nurses I'd be back. I saw my mom. I kind of, you know what's going on because that's what I do. And I looked at my mom. I said, you rest comfortably, Ma. I'll be back. And I jumped in my car and I headed over to Sharpsburg. But on the way out, I was talking to one of the nurses. I said to the nurse, I'll be back. And she said, oh, where are you going? To get something to eat? And I said, no. And I didn't even think about it. I just, you know, said it. Well, no, I'm going to go lead a praise and worship service. And she said, what? What are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to go lead a worship service. And she looked, I can tell that her eyes looked stunned when I made that comment to her. And she looked at me and said, worship service? And I said, oh yeah, I'm a musician. I'm going to go lead praise. And she just looked at me and I just said, I want to get her off the hook. Because she was stunned. And I said to her, you're not going to get it because you haven't got it. Amen. And I meant that lovingly. You're not going to get it because I know because you don't got it. You don't have it. You're not going to get it because you don't have it. And I went and I did the worship service and I came back to see my mom and it was about, I don't know, 10 o'clock or so. And I was sitting with my mom and an aide came in and she came up and said, Pastor, I get it. And she said, because I got it. See, joy doesn't stop. There are no circumstances that removes your joy. If your joy is what? Full. You see, life continues and life goes on. And joy needs to be what? Full. This morning when I got here, my phone rang. And I think Sue heard it ringing. Sissy was over there talking. I answered the phone. And it was a woman from Community Life. She said, Pastor Tom, I hate to bother you. And I said, well, it's okay. What's going on? She said, well, this is Mary. And I said, oh, hi, Mary. And she said, how are you? And I said, well, I'm well. How are you? And she said, well, not so good. I said, what's going on with you? And she said, my sister died yesterday morning. I'm not saying anything. And I said, okay. And, you know, she's 58. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. So sorry. So sorry. And she said, what I would like for you to do, or at least I'm asking you to do, she didn't have a church or anything. I would like to know if you're free tomorrow afternoon at 12 o'clock to do her funeral. And I said, sure. I'll do that for you. And she said, Pastor Tom, you don't know how difficult this is to lose somebody at Christmas. And I said, well, I think I do. I think I do. Well, why? I said, because my mom died yesterday morning, too. And she said, no. Well, then if you can't, no, I didn't say I couldn't do it. I'd be honored to do it. Because my mom is with your sister. And my life is full of what? Joy. And you will not ever be able to understand it if you don't have joy. You'll never be able to understand. I can't make you understand it if you haven't what? Got it. So many people will say to me, Pastor Tom, are you sure you can do that service Sunday morning? Pastor Tom, are you sure you can do that service Sunday night? Pastor Tom, you need to take the time. I am taking the time. I'm praising God. I am full of what? No, be careful what you say. Joy. Joy, joy. I especially had to make sure joy. Is your lives full of joy? Jesus said, I have come so that you will have joy, and your joy will be what? Let's turn in our Bibles, please. Nehemiah, chapter 8. It's right by Hezekiah. No, it's not by Hezekiah. There's no Hezekiah. That's Pastor Collins' book. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10.
Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
The joy of the Lord is my what? Strength. Oliver Wendell Holmes. Have you ever heard that guy's name? Oliver Wendell Holmes. He's one of the greatest chief justices of the Supreme Court. And one day they were interviewing Oliver Wendell Holmes, and he was one of the greatest justices of the Supreme Court. Brilliant man. Brilliant man. And they said to him, "Have you always wanted to be a judge?" And to everyone's surprise, Oliver Wendell Holmes, one of the greatest chief justices of all time, said, "No. No. Because really, truly, I really wanted to be a pastor. I wanted to be a pastor." "Well, why were you not?" And Oliver Wendell Holmes said this, "Well, I would have been a pastor, but too many of them are like undertakers." Too many are like undertakers. And I didn't want to be one of them. Too many pastors are undertakers. They have no what? No joy. They have no joy. And the same thing could be said, "Would you like to be a Christian?" "Well, I always thought I would want to be one, but then I found out that most of them are like undertakers." Not expressing the inexpressible joy that we should have at the season of Christmas. Not expressing the inexpressible kind of joy that we should be having at Christmas. And it says that the joy of the Lord is my what?
Strength.
Let me explain this to you. See, we have a job to do in this world. What is our job? Our job certainly is to feed the sick and shelter the weak. Yeah, but our job is to go and make disciples. That's our job. Not in good times, not in bad times, but in all times. We are to what? Make disciples. That's our job. And Satan knows what your job is. You see, Satan's big concern is not that you're reading the Bible this morning. That doesn't concern him. He's seen that before. He's not even concerned that you hear my good friend Herm reading the scripture to you. He's seen that before. That doesn't bother him. What bothers him is not that you're in the Word today. What bothers him and frightens him is that the Word gets in you. That bothers him. Because he knows that some man who has the love of the Lord in him probably marries a woman that's got the Lord in her, and they have children, and the Lord is now in them, and it just continues to complete the cycle. See, godly people hang around with godly people. And the Lord has a job for all of us. And Satan knows what the job is. So he doesn't want you strong. He wants you what? Weak. He doesn't want you strong. You think he wants me up here? You think he wants me to go do a funeral tomorrow at 12 o'clock when my mom just died yesterday? You think he's a happy camper about that? I don't think so. And so his job is to make us what? Weak. And how can he make you weak? Logic 101 says the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so if he's to make you weak, he must rob something of you. And what is it? Your joy. Rob your joy. You become an undertaker Christian. Not a joyful one. You become depressed and sad and despondent. Satan doesn't want Christians strong. Satan wants Christians weak. He wants you confined into your homes. He wants you to get up on a Sunday morning and say, "Oh, it's cold outside. I don't want to go to church. My bones is aching." That's what he wants. Stay home. Stay home. And what does the Lord say? Get up. Get going. We got work to do. There are souls to be won. That's the job. And Satan knows it. And Satan comes and whacks off your joy. Everything is horrible. No, it isn't. Everything is wonderful. Because Jesus said, "Not only have I come that your joy will be full, but I have come that you may have life and have it how? Abundantly." Amen. And you know what? I'm going to get it abundantly. Yes, my mom died yesterday and I'm singing praises. Yes, my dad died 3 years ago and I am singing praises. Yes, my brother died but 2 years ago and yes, I am singing his praises. And my son was killed 8 years ago and I am still singing his praises. And you know what's the good news about that? Thank God, because I know where I'm going and I'll see him again. Who can say that today and sing his praises? Sing his praises. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 16, verses 9 to 11.
Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Let me ask you a question, brothers and sisters. I want you not to theology me here today. I want you to intellectualize. Are people born cowards, or do they become cowards?
They become cowards.
What do you think? They become. A person who is afraid of everything is not created afraid of everything. They become what? Afraid of everything. How many agree with that statement? A person who's a coward, for whatever reason, isn't created one. They become one. How many agree with that? Well, then a joyful person. They're not created joyful. They what? They become joyful. They become joyful. They become full of joy because they made a choice. They have made a choice and something has happened to them that they would be full of joy. What is that something? What is that process that makes somebody full of joy? You weren't born that way. You become that way. How many understand that? You cannot buy joy with a credit card. You cannot go on Amazon.com and buy joy. It's not coming by UPS. If it was, somebody probably steal it anyhow on your porch. How many know somebody's looking for the packages now, man? You can order joy. It'd be gone. It's gone. And so where do we find this inexpressible joy? Where do we find this? Turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law.
Do you see it? See where it was? That's where it is. So you can find happiness like in lots of places. You really can. How many ever had at least one time in life a brand new car? Anybody have a brand new car at least once in their life? Brand new. I mean, brand new. Boy, do you remember sitting in that thing and, oh, the smell of that brand new car. And they hand you the key. Oh, life was good. Life was good. I had that experience about 6 years ago. I went to a wheeling motorcycle shop. And I pulled up, and there was sitting gold and white Suzuki Boulevard, 1,500 cc's of raw power. Raw power. And I need to confess and repent. I lusted. There was lust in my heart. And I walked into that shop, and they said, "Oh, you Reverend Brack?" And I said, "Yeah, your bike's outside." And I'm, oh, there's my bike. Oh, praise God, I'm so happy. And I took my helmet out of my trunk with Ride for Jesus, and I put my hair, it was a little long, and I went. And I put that helmet on. Oh, praise God. I got my gloves on. Sissy said, "You'll be okay." "Oh, I'm going to be fine." And I jumped on that thing and adjusted the mirrors just perfect. I put the key in that thing. Oh, the raw power. I put that thing in first gear and stalled it out. That should have been a sign right there. That should have been, boo! And all of that day of glory. Stalled that bike right out in the parking lot. You see, that bike brought me great joy until I wrecked it on the Ohio Turnpike and fractured my shoulder. And Dave, you did it too. Dave and I had similar spins. And then the joy left when I wrecked into Sissy's new truck. The expression that she showed me, the happiness faded quickly. And then the hole in the leg and the stitches in the face. And so, you know, you sit in a bike now, which is in heaven somewhere. I don't know if it's bikes in heaven, but it's gone. Gone. It's gone. It's been, the lizard of Geico came and got it. I hate the lizard. No, I hate him. I hate him. I hate the lizard. The bike's gone. The happiness is gone. There's a spot now where my bike used to be that Sissy's tractor sits and occupies. But the joy still floods my soul. Because traveling down the Ohio Turnpike at 65 miles an hour minus a bike with no scratch on that helmet, not a dent, not a ding, not a anything, my heart is full of joy. Laying on the Ohio Turnpike with cars coming in my direction, I'm laying there with the arm bent around my head thinking, this is how I'm going to die. And I heard the screeching of the brakes, and a young man came and parked his car horizontal, blocking my body, and kneeled down beside me and put my head on his lap and said, don't you worry, sir. No one's going to hit you. My life is full of joy. And when the ambulance came and finally picked me off the pavement, and they said, we got to get that jacket off because your arm's been, I got to see if you're bleeding. And I said to them, don't cut my jacket off. My wife just bought this for me. And the paramedic said to me, well, okay, but I still got to get that off. I said, well, don't cut my jacket. He said, well, I have to straighten your arm. I said, do what you need to do, and don't cut that jacket. He grabbed the hold of my arm and said, cut the jacket, cut the jacket. Oh, cut the jacket. Cut it off my body. And he took those scissors, snip, snip, snip. Oh, don't move my arm. Get rid of that jacket. I hate it. My life is still full of joy. And when the ambulance came and picked me off the pavement and took me to Akron Trauma Center, and I said, where's the boy? And the ambulance driver said, what boy? I said, the boy. What boy? He's gone. Never got his name. Maybe I'll see him again. And my life is still full of joy. And laying in the trauma center with not a stitch of clothes, I'm like, don't think about it. Don't even think about it. But I'm laying on the gurney with not one stitch of clothing on my body. And an officer of the law comes in, Akron City police officer, says to me, what's your name? And I'm going, I can't move. I'm in a halo. I'm strapped down. I said, Thomas Bracken. What's your address? I thought he's checking to see if I'm awake. And he goes, fine, here's your ticket. Uh-huh. Seriously, officer, where am I putting that? He said to the nurse, stick it with his clothes. But my life is still full of joy. What brings you joy? Do you see God working in your lives in all circumstances? Do you see him that no matter the valley, God is still in there with you? Do you see that? Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. Look in your Bibles, please. John 16, verse 33.
These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
In this world you will have tribulations. In this world you will have trouble. If you live on this earth long enough, you will get a turn. Help me understand that. You will get a turn. Guarantee it. You're going to get your turn. If you have not yet had a turn, be ready. I passed a truck on 79. It's coming to your house and it says trouble. It's coming. You're going to get the phone call you don't want. A loved one's going to die. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get sick. Something's going to happen. Believe me, it's going to happen. One of the doctors who I work with came into my office on Friday. I came in and shut the door. I won't give you his name. Hey, Doc, what's up? Can I talk to you, Pastor? I said, sure. I just found out today my contract's not going to be renewed. Wow. You mean that even happens to guys like you? Yeah, it happens to people like me. I'm out of job. Doctor. Out of job. In this world, you will have what?
Trouble.
There was a guy who came home at night. He went to his wife and he had small kids there. And he said to her, I lost my job. We're going to have to declare bankruptcy. It was at the season of Christmas. And the wife said, what do you mean? He said, I lost my job. I lost my job. I have nothing. I lost everything. I have nothing. So she said, okay, can you watch the kids? And he said, sure. She went out and she took her wedding ring and her jewelry and she sold it. And she came home and she had a basket full of food. And she made an unbelievable feast. An unbelievable feast. Everything that she possibly could do, she did. She overwhelmed her family with an unbelievable feast. And her sister called her phone and said, what are you doing? You just see your husband just lost a job and you sold your ring to provide this? And she said, I need joy now. Amen. Not 5 months from now. I need it when? Now. You see, you know when you need your joy the most is when you're in the valleys. When you need your joy the most is not when everything is good, it's when everything is bad. Oh, the joy that floods my soul. When do you need your joy? Do you wait until the sun is shining brightly again? Or do you say, no, now is when I need my joy? What is it with you? Do you wait until you get the promotion that you get your joy? Do you wait until everything is fine and the car is running great? Is that when you got your joy? Do you only have your joy when everybody's well? Is that when you have your joy? Or when the dark times come, is that when you sell everything you got and spread some joy? Pastor Tom, are you sure you can do that service this morning? Well, why not? Are you sure, Pastor Tom, you can go do that praise and worship service Friday night? Well, why not? Are you sure, Pastor Tom, that you can go down and do that service tonight? Well, why not? My joy ain't gone anywhere. My joy hasn't left me. My joy is how full? All the way full. How many have all the way full joy? It is full. So where do people try to find this joy? I found some examples of where people try to find their joy. And they haven't found it. Voltaire. Have you ever heard a guy named Voltaire? Probably one of the most famous of the atheists. Voltaire said, I was an infidel to the pronounced time. And he wrote, I wish I had never been born. Voltaire. Lord Byron lived a life of pleasure. He had everything that he ever wanted. He wrote, the worm, the canker, and the grief are mine alone. A fellow by the name of Jay Gould, an American millionaire, money, when dying, he said this, I suppose that I am the most miserable man on the face of this earth. Multimillionaire, that's what he said. Multimillionaire. Lord Beaconsfield had position and fame, enjoyed more than his share of anything anyone wrote. He said this when he died. Youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, and old age a regret. Alexander the Great conquered the whole known world of his time. Having done so, he wept in his tent and he heard people outside and he said, there is no more worlds to conquer, no, not one. Where do we find this inexpressible joy? Where do you find it? Jesus Christ said, I have come. I have come so that you may be joyful. That you may have joy and your joy be what? Full. I have come so that you may have a life and that your life would be complete. In a Presbyterian church, up in Manhattan. Presbyterians are kind of stoic in their faith. Sometimes you hear my good friend Billy say, amen, preach it, Pastor Tom. They don't say that in a Presbyterian church. In a Presbyterian church, there ain't no amen, hallelujah, glory to you, God. It's more like... And so what the pastor did in this one Presbyterian church in Manhattan about 60 years ago, he wanted for them to be expressing their joy, but he knows no one would ever say, preach it, Pastor Tom. They wouldn't say that. And so he gave out to the congregation helium-filled balloons in the sanctuary. And they sat in the pews, and when they wanted to express their joy and their affirmation to God's word, they would let the balloon go. Cute idea. That's a cute idea, right? And the pastor would preach on a balloon, go up in a balloon, go up in a balloon, go up. That's pretty cool, right? Because you would say, hallelujah, Pastor! Let the balloon go. One by one, balloons would be floating up into the ceiling. Only half of them. A half left for theirs. A half left for theirs. What would you do with yours today? If I gave you a helium-filled balloon and I said, if you felt joyful at any time during the service, let it go. If you felt joy at any time during the service, let that baby go. Would you walk out with yours? Would you put it in your car and take it home? Would you save it for a rainy day? You decide. You decide. But like I told that nurse when I left on Friday night, you know, you're not going to get it because you haven't got it. Maybe some of you are not getting it now either. Maybe. Just maybe. It's because what? You ain't got it. And I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about your joy. Well, let me help you with this. I got it. And it's staying. And you ain't getting it. And guess what? And he definitely ain't getting it. Why do the service tonight? You bet. Why do that funeral tomorrow at 12 o'clock? You bet. Why go there and spread the joy? Oh, just watch me. When I leave there and they look at me and I say to them, I understand what you feel. I understand. I understand what you feel. I understand the grief in the morning. I get it. Because my mom died at the same time as your sister did. But I tell you this, my heart still sings with joy. And you want to know why? Because she's not dead. And neither is your sister. God, I hope so, because I didn't know her. How many people are in cemeteries in Western Pennsylvania, do you think? There are a lot of them. A lot of cemeteries around here, right? How many people are in cemeteries here? None. Not one. Not one. Empty shells. Not one. They're either there. Well, we don't want to discuss that other part. Jesus says, I've come. That your joy may be full. Father, we thank you so much for the hearing of these words, Lord. I hope and I pray that my brothers and sisters in this room understand it. Lord, if they don't understand the simple concept of the joy of the Lord, if they don't understand the simple concept of the joy of the Lord is my strength, if they don't understand it, Lord, it's because they don't get it. And if they don't get it, the fear, Lord, is because they haven't got it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Jesus Christ said, I have come that your joy may be full. Not just full in sunshiny days. Not just full when everything is peaceful. Full all the time. Help us to understand as that mother who sold her wedding rings so she could provide a feast for her family at the time of the biggest despair. And she said, no, we need our joy now. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters in this room that brought my ma so much joy. That's because the Lord Jesus ministered to the Jesus in her, and I'm thankful. And for my brothers and sisters in this place that help me remain full of joy, that the Jesus in them ministers to the Jesus in me, and I give you thanks. And Lord, may the Jesus in all of us minister to the Jesus in each of us so that we would be full of joy. Lord, Lord, when we go from this place, and I'm supposing that some people will probably do some Christmas shopping over the holidays to provide a Christmas present for their family. And it's right and proper that we do. In our culture, that's what we do. But I think one of the best things we could give our kids and our family is some joy. The joy of the Lord. Let them see the joy in us. Let them see the joy that we have even in our darkest times. Joy's not leaving us. Joy, Jesus, I think the best thing that we could give our loved ones for Christmas is Jesus. And let it begin by us. Let them see the inexpressible joy. In your awesome name, we do pray these things. And all of God's people said,